Neon once brought to mind everything from lavish resorts to charming motels to even dive bars. Now it is often seen as art. Holly Hutchings talks to one artist who has been crafting neon for years.
Recently, Jeff Johnson walked me through his backyard. It's like an open-air gallery exhibition of his work, with the Mizpah hotel sign, a seductive neon woman hanging on the wall, and vibrant towers along the walkway. But his yard isn't the only place he does this.
So sometimes I've been able to set up neon out in the on the side of a hill or a little mountain, and where you can see the neon from far away. And it's just a temporary thing that on Memorial Day, I created a blue star flag on the N up above UNR to celebrate the blue star families and our veterans.
Next, we go into his work shed. The walls are covered with drawings, old once-lit beer signs, and even a formerly bright Hello Kitty. The ceiling is lined with snake-like neon that slithers across the whole of it. He shows me how it comes to life with one zap of an electrical charge. There aren't a ton of neon artists like Johnson. He makes the unexpected, from a neon fetus to a functioning marionette that can gently dance. One of his current works is a piano that he designed as part of the piano project with Carpenter's Music World. Basically, 12 artists went to town to make one piano their own as part of a charity auction.
Yeah, mine's the one, "This machine kills fascists." It's dedicated to Woody Guthrie. Well, I just put neon inside it so it glows out the holes. I took the front parts up on the other side of P-Vine, I pumped them full of lead so that the light shines out the bullet holes.
Before the piano, there were the fish. In 2001, Johnson crafted 20 cutthroat trout that glowed in multicolor neon, then installed them in the waters of the Truckee River in downtown Reno. You heard that right. There were electrically charged fish underwater for weeks.
It was a lot of work. I had to go out there in the freezing cold in middle of July and set them up in the afternoon and take them down at night. Well, I had to do it several times during the month. I was the neon fish guy for 10 years. Oh, you're the neon fish guy.
The dwindling amount of money-making work is frustrating, but leaders in the arts community say pieces like his add to the overall picture of Northern Nevada art.
There are many extraordinary artworks which are considered, you know, pieces of fine art, which are made from reclaimed materials, from garbage, from canvas, from fiber, from mixed media. And I think that it's not fair to cast a broad net over any particular medium, even neon.
That's Amanda Horn, spokesperson for the Nevada Museum of Art. The museum hosted a feature show in 2012 called The Light Circus, showcasing vintage neon. She says the show succeeded because people are fascinated by this non-traditional art form. 4 hours east in Elko, another museum has been displaying neon. The Western Folklife Center has been blending neon works with more traditional cowboy art in its Wiegland Gallery and at the annual Cowboy Poetry Gathering. Meg Glazer is the artistic director there, and she says they're all about living culture, but are also rooted in the past.
Showing some of this vintage neon that a lot of our audience has memories of connects to the past, but brings it into a new context that people can appreciate. And we obviously have to work with living artisans to restore some of this work.
For years, signs like the Mapes Cowboys, a glowing red bullhead, and the Nevada Club's Bucky Buckaroo have been alongside carved leather saddles, spurs, and rawhide ropes, all made by Western artisans. Some think that neon is having an uptick of success, being recognized as the new state element, and with the Atlantic magazine calling it the ultimate symbol of the 20th century. With that, we can probably expect the glowing lights will keep popping up in expected and unexpected places, especially if Jeff Johnson has anything to say about it. Holly Hutchings, KUNR News.